now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Rose France. And today on the show,
Western Supermare Pride.
Yeah, it's well and truly Pride season. And Nigel will be here to fill us in on all what's in store at this year's Western.
And genderqueer history.
Yes, Ella's back with more history for us.
All that more on the show today. Sorry, I pushed the microphone up and you coughed then.
Sorry, yeah, I know, I tried to move away. Sorry.
Hello, Rose, having a holiday?
Yes, I've been away to Paxos.
Very nice.
No one will be following me at all, but if anyone ever did, I always see pictures of me in Paxos. Here we go. That's it. Instagram, lots of pictures, Paxos, cats, walking,
cats.
Things like that. Pussies galore. And, All sorts in Paxos. Yes, there we go.
Does it appeal to you too now?
Yeah, no, I've got to get
perfect.
There.
Got Actually, can there. I just say, as a weird fact or whatever, it's quite interesting. There were so many lesbian couples there. Like, I don't know why. Has it turned into the new Lesbos or something?
I have no idea.
There's quite an island called Lesbos.
There is, yes.
Oh, wow. That's where the word lesbian comes from.
Yeah, I know that's where it comes, but I thought it was just like a Greek myth kind of thing.
No. So, you know, the old sort of adage, moored from off the, what is it? Moored off the shores of Lesbos is a, you know, sort of a, my brother says
They have
that.
Lots like of cats there too.
They probably do, yes. Oh, acting like rabbits they are.
Well, welcome to the studio.
You're outnumbered.
I am very outnumbered, aren't I? So, and hello Tara and
hello.
Lara.
Hey,
So I'm going to get the names around the wrong way, aren't I? Know, you just couldn't ask for more, really, could you? Lara and Tara, it's great.
Yeah, you like that rhyme.
So now, on a more serious note, one of the things I did want to mention, top of show, is we want to pass on our condolences as a show to... the family and friends of a guy called Cy Hands. Many of you may not know him. He very sadly passed away Sunday evening, but he was responsible for setting up the Manchester Rubbermen group, which attracts thousands every year to their weekend that they do each year, and they raise lots and lots of money and give thousands to charity when they do it.
Where's that based, Andy?
They're in Manchester. He actually got the idea. He went to Chicago and was really inspired by how open and accepting and friendly the scene there was.
Sure.
And set it up when he came back. And it's led to lots of other groups being set up. There's one in London, the London Rubbermen, and there's one here in Bristol called the Southwest Rubbermen.
Yeah.
They're all over Europe. They're in America. There's some in Australia and New Zealand and all sorts. It's a real, real shame because he was known by thousands of people and inspired lots of people to do lots of good things and raise money and the like. And he's very sadly been lost.
Yeah, well, let's hope they all bounce back from that.
terrible. Why
That's
did you
terrible.
Even, that was awful.
I know, right. It was, yeah. But no, it sounds like he was actually quite an inspirational guy because he sort of seemed to... be the kind of start of all these groups.
Pioneer,
you was talking about it earlier and you were saying it kind of came from something that was kind of perceived as being quite sleazy into something that was actually more of a social scene.
Rubber has a huge history in the gay scene full stop, but traditionally it was more associated with... darker, more underground clubs or what you did at home. It wasn't a social thing, and in this country Cy was one of the instigators to make it a social thing. I mean the weekends and the events that are held are all about going to the pub and having drinks and just being, and rubber is just the cloth that you're wearing kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
And that was the huge change he brought around. But what was really good was there are thousands of people go and Cy still went out of his way to say hi to every single one of them as they went through the door into the clubs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, so he never had that bravado of, you know,
I'm the leader. Okay.
And it was a real inspiration and it's a huge great loss to the community, so we've got a song, a tribute song for him later, and there is something in our news for him. So, we ought to move on and get some events. Are you ready, ladies?
We are indeed.
So, out shout, our pick of the best events coming up over the next week or two with Tara and Lara. I love that.
You're never going to get over that.
That's great. So, who's going first then?
Me.
And then what have you got for us,
Lara? So, I've got an event called Sing Out Bristol.
The choir?
Yeah. It's on Tuesday the 27th at the atrium at Southmead Hospital as part of the Great Brunel Buskathon. Performing songs from Recent Colours concert, and it's a great event, and I think it's for charity, or like it's like a massive performance there, so it's worth a go and listen.
Yeah, I didn't realise there was a buskathon going on, so they're brilliant. They did their concert recently in St George's.
How did that go?
It sold out months
really?
Before. And
it's a great venue, isn't it?
It's amazing. The acoustics in there. It's going to be interesting to see what the acoustics are like in the atrium. Yeah, it's huge. Have you ever seen it?
No, the Southmead. Yeah. I've never been there.
It's like a giant hotel.
Really?
You walk in and it's just like stories up above you.
It's like an airport.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, in fact, they have gates and all sorts.
Exactly.
Really?
It's genuinely like an airport.
Wow.
It's up for an award at the moment as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the hospital's actually up for an award for its architecture.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's got some weird clock thing in the ceiling, hasn't it?
It's had a few issues as well, hasn't
it? Oh, has it? you can't tell the time. That's a slight issue, isn't
that's
it?
That's the problem,
That's Tuesday. Is it free? Can you just go along?
Yeah, I think you can just go along. I'm trying to look for now. Yeah, I think you can just go along.
Oh, cool.
It's at Southmead Hospital, so tag along.
And so, Tara?
Well, we're starting into Pride season, aren't we? So,
yes. We've got Western in a bit, actually.
Yeah, and I was up in Gloucester last week. It was 2 weekends ago. I went to Gloucester Pride as well. So it was really
good.
I did. So Bristol Pride starts off soon as well. So actually, it starts off next Friday, doesn't it?
Next week, Darren is coming in to talk to us, mate.
Yeah, so I just thought, because some of the things you're going to have to start getting tickets for and all the rest of it.
Oh, yes.
Selling out. Yeah, so it's actually, if we do it Thursday next week, by Friday you might be a bit late.
So are you going to tell me you have an event for
So there's a Bristol Pride film sent to the world on Friday the 30th of June at Watershed.
Nice.
So there's various films on the 1st of July as well. There's a Pride talk, so there's quite a lot of things on at the moment. So they say Watershed 30th of June 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets are available online or in the Watershed, and it's of course Queer Vision. So
I think it's a week and a half Queer Vision.
Yeah,
it's
so
huge.
So there's lots of things on each day. Yeah, so there's a itty bitty titty community,
and I have to say, Jane,
get that one in.
Itty bitty titty.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's just tickled. Lara,
interesting.
I'm trying.
Itty bitty titty. Wow, I'm using that.
Looking awry. They've got Gaze at the Queer Vision, Alone in Berlin. There's just something on every night from that Friday onwards.
Okay.
So it is really worth just going and look on the world.
We spoke to Tom Marshman last week as well. He's doing his event. You can hear podcasts up on the website if you want to hear all about that. But he's doing things like a history thing at, is it Redwood? Not Redwood Lodge, it's...
And then the other thing, of course, the dog show starts on the Saturday as well. So book yourself in for a shampoo and set for your dog before you turn up.
Our dog's a little bit too old to take to that.
You have a dog?
Yeah.
I love dogs. I need a dog. I need a puppy in my life.
Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. It actually impacts us.
Wait for it.
No, it's a nice little story.
Really? That's not like you.
There's lots of stray cats, obviously, which we've talked about, but they also have these dogs, and they're also begging at the donors as well. There's not too many of them, but the funny thing is that these dogs are actually owned by people, and that this is in Gaios, which is the centre, but it's not that big. It's like a little tiny village, and basically all the dogs, they come down each evening at Taverna opening time, at supper time. They've all got their collars on and everything. They all sort of trot down the hill, sort of go round the tavernas, do the rounds, and then just go back home for supper. It's classic. You see the same ones each night, and then you see them back in the house.
Wow.
Clever little things.
I do love dog.
So yeah, so if your dog looks like anything like you, there'll be all those sort of regular events there as well.
The Pride Dog Show is always extremely well attended.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
I've never been.
It's really good fun. But it started out as just a little idea. I think it was Freddie's idea, actually, Darren to the Half. Yeah. And they did it top of Corn Street the first year. And so many people, they moved it to Castle Park.
Is it actually in Castle Park?
I think it's in Castle Park.
I reckon it should have an agility and an obedience section as well.
Ooh. What, for the owners or the dogs?
Well, they're both. That's a special event.
Yeah, that's after hours, that one.
So, but yeah, I think the dog show is free though, isn't it?
It is free. Yeah. So turn. Yeah, I think it's, yeah, everyone's more than welcome out there.
Cool.
Definitely.
You've got a dog.
Oh, nice
you know.
One.
So, well, like I say, we're talking to the guys from West Supermare Pride today, but Darren's in next week, so we will be catching up about that. But I know you're dead right. All the events sell out really, really quick. The comedy night's a really good one.
Annoyingly,
it's on a Thursday. It's your shout out, isn't
it? It's like
it?
Hush has got their tickets as well after party. You know, there's all those tickets you've got to be getting now, because actually next Thursday they're probably gone.
Yeah, and don't forget, there is a pop-up shop as well, I believe, in Old Market next to the Bear Bar, where you can go and exchange your tickets for your wristband, because if you've got your wristband, you get free travel on first on Pride Day.
On the actual
main day, not
and that's
week.
Up to cool. 5 in the morning, isn't it?
Something weird like that.
So you can get your night bus as well.
Yeah. So cool.
Can't wait.
Thank you very much, both.
That's all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. Shout Out.
There you go. That, if you haven't heard it yet, is the artist for Grenfell song, which Bridge Over Troubled Water. So, an awful lot of artists in that one. It's lovely.
Yeah, lovely.
And of course, all the proceeds are going to the horrible tragedy that happened with the tower, the people that were affected by it. So, which I saw a really nice story, actually. They've actually acquired some very nice accommodation for them quite locally, haven't they? Which is quite good. So.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, we are in the middle of Pride season, and we have to have him back again. It's always lovely to catch up with him. Nigel is here from Western Supermare Pride, and is joined by Elisa. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
So, now, give us a bit of history, because we've known you guys since day one, haven't we?
You have.
But for those that may not have heard of the fact that there is a Western Pride, what was it? Was it 3 years ago?
So it's 4 years old this year. Wow. Yeah, we're into our fourth year. How we've managed to keep going, I'll never know, but we have. So, it's a beautiful thing that we've got in West Supermare, and thanks for your support with the shout out.
So it's lovely. I know a lot of the team, I'm going to try and see if I can get down myself as well, but I know a lot of our team are coming down on the day themselves as well, which would be great.
Yeah.
But give us, who wants to kick me off? What's new? What's changed?
Okay, so similar sort of format as last year. We're going to go into Grove Park again after a spectacular parade that is going to be led by some rainbows, some flags, and the samba band, the usual samba band. And we've got a really fantastic parade coordinator this year who wants to create a human rainbow, which
is a
beautiful thing to have with different colour frocks and banners. And it's all there, the balloons and
So is it just like t-shirts they're going to be in, or are you planning on face painting or hair dyeing?
Well, the world's all
do we not
there, isn't
yet?
It? And it's lovely. So, Therese is, she's got different organisations to come about in all their different colour t-shirts, and to stand behind a banner and to create this rainbow that hopefully will look quite spectacular. So if you are in an organisation that has got different coloured t-shirts, then come along, get behind your banner, and let's do this together, you know, as a community.
Cool. I'm going to ask you a question we get asked a lot, and we spoke about this off air, so I'm not surprising you with this, but we do get people say, why do you need one in Western Supermare when there's a huge one here in Bristol?
And I understand people asking, you know, there's no doubt that Bristol Pride is such an amazing thing in Bristol. But then we have to look sort of south, and we have to look, to the other areas. And bearing in mind Western Supermare and North Somerset catches a lot of the rural areas, it's really important for people to be able to engage with another event. doing the work that, you know, Pride does. And we've seen the changes in the town. You know, Western Superman.
It's really had that much of an
effect. We have. And, you know, it's really beautiful to see, like, 19-year-old guys and girls coming up to us and sort of saying, thank you for having this Pride for us. It's created, you know, a really nice feeling amongst us and our friends and stuff. So, yeah, it's a really positive thing.
So I know, because there is one all the way down in Totnes as well. That's run by a couple of twins. We've spoken to them before now as well. I think they're still doing theirs. I think they did theirs last year for sure. I haven't heard about this year. But I know Western is a bit too big to say it's like countryside. But do you think it is kind of important to reach those more rural areas where traditionally there is no LGBT scene and it can be statistically more homophobic? And
yeah, absolutely. And I think it's the case of, you know, having that choice to, you know, sort of get on the train. GWR are really supportive, and, you know, having... Oh, what have I come out of there?
We can still hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. So I think it's really important for people to be able to engage in an event, even if they're getting a lift in or on the train or on the bus, you know, just seeing something that they feel part of and belong to. And for rural Somerset, that's really important.
Cool. So you're going to give us a rundown of what we can expect on the day then?
Okay, so headlined by 80s diva Hazel Dean, which is a beautiful thing to have. So yeah, we're going to be welcoming her onto the main stage. We've got one main stage, which is, you know, that's enough for us. That's what we do. And then there's the amazing Angie Brown, Kelly Wilde, the Showbears. We've got the drag queen Adam All. We've got Jordan Gray, which is going to be absolutely spectacular from The Voice, and I believe she's also performing at Bristol Pride. And for the youth, and I think that's really important with Western Supermare becoming a university town, we've got Freddie Parker.
Cool.
And he's going to do a meet and greet in the family area.
There'll be some people saying, who's he?
Yeah.
So Freddie Parker is a young man that was on The X Factor.
You're not allowed to say what's the X Factor. That's too far.
And recently was it at Gloucester Pride, and it was lovely to see the youth engaging with him. And it's also lovely for the younger person to be able to go and meet and greet him in the family area. So, yeah, it's all good stuff. Hosted by Fanny Burns.
Cool.
And also Bristol's Miss Beaver, so it's lovely to have Alid on board.
So you've got the Bristol band, the Funkensteins, on there as well.
Yes. What a legend.
Yeah, well, we featured them in our first year of Shout Out.
Yeah.
And also Human Condition from Bristol. Yeah, we've got a few coming over. Mark Anthony's coming over.
Yes, I was going to say Mark Anthony,
One. So, yeah, just really lovely to receive those phone calls and then want to be part of it. So, yeah, thanks to everybody. It's great.
Now, Western Supermare Pride is slightly different. You work as a ticketed event, don't you? So
We do, and we did that from the very start because, you know, as part of these events, we have to look at risk assessment.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the things that we've sort of, like, maintained throughout our risk assessment is that we want to know who's coming on the event. Yeah. You know, and it's to keep it a safe event, and it's also obviously to create a little bit of revenue.
I think a lot of people forget these things aren't free.
They're not, and it could be quite expensive to do if we don't. You know, we need to get it right each year, and that's hard work. Mm-hmm. And it for us, it's around the risk assessment. So we like to know who's coming through the gates, so we can do bag checks, and yeah.
But tickets are on sale now, aren't they? So
they
we're only a month away, roughly, just
they
over.
Are,
so
they are
much
on
to scare
sale.
You.
So,
is it coming around fast?
It is. It's, what, 5 weeks away? Blimey. So tickets are online, wsmpride.com. For adults, it's £5. And for children between 5 and 15, it's £3. Under 5s are free. We've got the family area run by Western Super Mums. And,
I like the name, that's cool.
Yeah, and that's going to be a beautiful thing. And then afterwards, we've got the after parties at Cameo, Electric Banana, and then Legends have come on board and they're doing a Kylie tribute on the seafront.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. That'd be fun.
Happy days.
So, I mean, are you already planning next year? Does it go that far in advance? Do you have to start thinking about things?
Andy,
like that?
I can never not be honest with you. So the answer is yes.
So I mean, I'm guessing, is it growing year on year? Are you finding more people are finding out?
We are, and you know, like I said, it's lovely seeing the youngsters get involved and what have you. But it's also lovely, and this is what, you know, Western Pride's all about. It's about inclusivity. It's about families. And having, you know, mothers, fathers, grands, aunts, children, you know, part of the event, it's really important. And, you know, we're really lucky to have Western Supermums on board. And they create a really safe environment for families. And it's just a beautiful thing, really, that we're building up. It's not a massive pride, and it will never be a huge pride. But what
I presume you still have to think about what if we outgrow the park we're in and that kind of.
Yeah, sure. And if we do outgrow the park, you know, we've got the beach lawns to move onto and what have you. But for the time being, you know, we're going to stay in Grove Park, and people like it there. It's a bit of a fairy tale setting, you know, and it works for us. So, yeah.
Cool. And sorry, Elise,
we've
hardly said anything to you so far. So I don't recall you being on the team last year, or was it?
No, because I'm part of a Western Supermum, which Becky Condren set up in 2010.
Well, so just heard me compliment. I love that name.
It's great, isn't it? She's a star. She is an absolute star. And Nigel approached Western Supermum and just said, look, we want to do the family area. Yeah, what's your volunteer base like? And it's like, well, we're all volunteers, but tell us what you want. So it's like, that's it. Colour, sparkles, glitter, art and craft, cool. All the way, and plenty of music. I've got 5 children at home myself. So they're all coming in to help, from 18 all the way down to 10. So that's how it's going to be massive. And they're going to be kind of in control of helping with that, and, you know, leading the way and showing everyone how it's done. But it's all, you know, come and meet Freddie Parker. That's going to be over our side. So
cool.
It should be great. Bouncy castles, slides. What more?
Yeah.
What more could you wish?
Sounds like we need to get you in for a show on your own.
See how it all went.
Well, yeah.
Or do you need a week's holiday afterwards?
Well, I think Nigel always says that every year, don't you?
I do. I mean, and also it's worth noting that, you know, the UK Pride Network, they've got the first ever national UK Pride the week before ours up in Hull.
Right.
So Western Supermare are going up there, as I'm sure a lot of other prides are going to be doing. So we're going to be tired throughout July. So August time, we'll be ready to come and check.
Yeah. Do you do the rounds? Do you go and sort of check out all the prides and see?
Yeah, I'm helping.
What's going on?
Well, I helped over in Gloucester, which was lovely, and Reading have asked me to go over and support them in September. So, you know, it's what we do. You know, we stand together, and you know, we just keep flying that flag for equality. You know, it's what we're about.
Yeah,
cool. Well, listen, fingers crossed the weather holds out as well, especially if it stays this temperature. It'll be lovely, won't it? Yesterday, my God, was it hot yesterday.
Yeah, it was a bit too hot.
Western Supermare Pride, if people, do you want to give out your website just once more in case people haven't got their tickets?
Okay, so Western Supermare Pride is on Saturday the 29th of July in Grove Park, Western Supermare. Tickets are now online, wsmpride.com.
Cool. And we are going to be sending a whole load of the shout-out team down so that you'll see them about with their press passes and T-shirts on. Make sure you go over and say hello, and you never know, you might end up on the radio. So, listen, guys, best of luck with it.
It's been a roaring
success in previous years, so I have no doubt it will be this year. Tune in the week after, because I think you'll find that's probably when we will broadcast some of the content from it. So.
Amazing.
Anyway, stay with us. News headlines coming up next. You're listening to Shout-Out.
The Shout-Out Podcast.
That's Sigala and Ella Eyre. I think that's Ella how you say Eyre. That.
Yeah.
That's cool. Came here for love.
Yes. Very, very, very summery, one. I think, that one.
Quite it's, summer. It's Lara that never approves of my music.
Well,
some, actually. It depends what
Well,
it is.
Now that you actually mention it, you know, I mean, I think we should have a bit more classical.
Classical,
bit
yeah.
of culture
actually,
on this programme.
We did do a classical.
We did, though.
Do you remember? We played nothing but classical. It's very odd. It totally changes the whole dynamic of the show. But we did it for fun. So, hello, Natalie.
Hello.
And hello, Terry.
Good evening.
So, should we get some news headlines?
Yes, you can. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 22nd of June.
Tributes have been pouring in from across the gay and fetish scenes to Sly Hands, an organiser of the rubber community in Manchester, who has passed away at the age of 33. Sly was a popular photographer, and under his impetus, Manchester Rubbermen and similar groups across the country have sprung up, taking part in pride marches, raising money for sexual health charities, and helping other people explore their fetishes. On one occasion, the Manchester group raised a staggering £6,969 for a charitable organisation. We think the amount was significant too. We will revisit Sly's legacy in future editions of Shout Out, but for now, send our condolences to his boyfriend Alex and the whole rubber community as it mourns this loss.
A religious fundamentalist has been suspended from his work as a firefighter in South Africa after making sick claims about recent disasters involving fire. The man, who has not been named officially, took to Facebook to claim that the decision of the Dutch Reformed Church in Africa to permit the blessing of same-sex unions had triggered fires that have raged in the South African bush and in Portugal recently. We, of course, are thrilled to hear that the panoply of supernatural powers that gay people are amassing is growing. It seems now we can start wildfires as well as cause floods and mudslides. You'd have thought this would be a warning to religious extremists not to cross us.
Vince Clark and Andy Bell, better known as Poptastic 1980s hit-making duo Erasure, were guests of Sarah Cox on BBC Radio 2 Sounds of the 80s programme at the weekend. Vince and Andy spoke of the development of their sound up to and including the present day, and Andy revealed that his famous rubber leotard, which he wore on national television to the horror of the establishment, was purchased from a market store in Camden and was chosen because it was hard-wearing. The show is available to listen to on the BBC iPlayer.
And it's an important week for practitioners of various religions. For Muslims, the holy month of Ramadan ends on Friday evening with the festival of Eid al-Fitr, one of the largest in the Islamic calendar. Eid greetings have been issued by LGBT Muslim groups the world over and by the Association of British Muslims, one of the oldest Islamic networks in the UK and the only major one to embrace LGBT liberation as part of its manifesto. Elsewhere, the pagan community are today marking the passing of the shortest night of the year and the summer solstice. Known as Litha in the northern European pagan tradition, the festival sees the god in his light aspect at the height of his powers. It is a time of bounty and celebration. In addition to all this, the Glastonbury Festival takes place this weekend. The festival has always had a strong activist feel, and since 2006, the Block 9 area has provided a welcoming space for LGBT and queer people of all backgrounds. For those of us staying at home, highlights of the festival will be broadcast on several BBC television and radio networks, so you can always put the barbecue on and pretend you're down at Glastonbury. However you mark this weekend, please be responsible and have safe fun.
For more news coverage of gay, bisexual and trans issues, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Natalie.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
So you heard it there. A big load of condolences from us about the loss of Sly Hands. So just to make you aware, there are events being held across the country and to have a drink and to toast Sly, including here in Bristol. The Swarm group will be meeting on Saturday in the Palace in a special and additional meet. If you are interested in going, whether you want to go in rubber or not, it is from 6 o'clock onwards. So if you'd like to come and raise a toast to Sly, you can do so. But one of the things we wanted to do was play a little bit of a tribute, and one of the biggest events that happens as part of the Manchester Rubber meet that goes on once a year is they have a night called Gear Tunes, which is karaoke, believe it or not. And this was one of Sy's favourite songs that he used to like to sing.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go, that's How Far I'll Go, and that's the Alicia Cara mix. So I wasn't 100% sure which one to play. There were two or three mixes, but we like the sound of that.
I can imagine that as a good karaoke song, actually. Yeah.
The other one that is, it's the most amazing thing you've ever seen is when there's like 50, 60, 70 guys all dressed in rubber singing Frozen, for example, at the top of their lungs in one of the nights. they have there. So it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. And I think they welcome everyone, so I'm sure you'd be allowed to.
Yeah, so anyone can go along, rubber or not.
Some of the events are
rubber
dress code required.
Yeah, okay.
But not all of them. But I think you get preferential treatment and entry. Yes. Is it films out?
Yeah.
People fly from all over the world to go to it, so it's a. Of course. Anyway, there you go. That's our little tribute. So, my heart goes out to the guys up there. So, anyway, welcome. Hello, Ella.
Yeah, welcome to Ella.
Hello.
How are you doing?
So Not bad. Back with another history episode, yes, which is always great. These go down so well.
Wait, no. Don't say history. This is pop culture.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got genderqueer history written down on my sheet.
It's the history of pop culture, though, isn't it?
You know, I can try and freestyle on some history. I admit made my notes for pop culture.
It's still history. It's the history.
I mean,
of pop,
you know what happened? It's basically you guys stereotyped me. You took one look and you were like, Ella, she'll talk about history. She can't talk about anything else. That's fine. I don't mind. Whatever. I wear glasses. I assume that you'll think I'm a nerd.
Here we go.
Okay, so
librarian
pop
obviously.
Culture.
Because we started talking about non-binary identities not long ago, and I was just thinking...
Which is a fascinating subject as well. It's lovely, because we've also met a few people who do identify as non-binary as well, haven't we?
Yes.
Which has been... it's been quite an eye-opener for myself, if I'm honest, because I was the generation that it was lucky if you could admit you were gay, let alone anything else. It wasn't that well accepted in 96 when I came out. But I think it's great that we're actually starting to break down some of the walls. But I have a funny feeling you're going to tell us it's been happening for a while, haven't you?
I mean, it absolutely has. And I think as I mentioned in the first time we talked about this, I mean, the whole notion of a very strict binary gender identity is really very much a Western British American thing of the past 200 years. So it's something that we quite violently enforced in many other countries. Lots of countries have third gender pronouns. Lots of countries have third gender identities. We've even had transgender Vikings in Britain. And, you know, lots of countries have transgender intersex gods. Oh, yeah. Transgender Vikings.
Vikings.
Yeah.
Yep. And non-binary Vikings. So basically, the whole thing with Vikings, Anglo-Saxons.
Oh, Ella could tell you some stories about some very horrible Vikings and warriors and
couldn't you? Of course, I could. Are you kidding?
So, who was the female one that was really, really violent? And
you're talking about Julie d'Aubigny. Yeah. She wasn't a Viking. She was a fencer in the French court. She got in a lot of swords fights. And
a fencing dominatrix, I think, would be a better description from what you said.
Very much so. She was a very, very aggressively bisexual woman. Incredibly beautiful, brilliant singer, famous, bit of a rock star. I love Julie d'Aubigny. I really am a bit in love with her, but slightly terrifying as well. Yeah, I doubt about it. So non-binary identity. So I was just thinking that obviously I am not non-binary myself, and I kind of wanted to hesitate before going too deep, because hopefully we'll be able to talk to more non-binary people about this. But I was thinking, if there are members of our community who are listening to this who have not knowingly met a non-binary or gender fluid person, then they might want to kind of learn more. And so I thought I'd just give you a quick survey of some pop culture stuff that you can do to engage with for fun.
Cool. Well, it's good. And it's kind of what Shoutout's here for. We try to put the stories out for people who don't know. Because half the time we don't always know ourselves till we research it, do we? So,
yeah.
So what have you got for us?
Okay, so I'm going to rattle out this list real quick. And then you guys let me know if you've got any questions about it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so first of all, we've got La Fontaine, or Laff, from the web series Carmilla, which is based on the world's first ever vampire novel, which was The Lesbian Romance. It's a YouTube series that you can watch for free. Laff is a biology major and a non-binary character at the fictional and very weird Silas University, played by Caitlin Alexander, a non-binary actor, web series creator and YouTube actor. Then we've got Frisk in the popular video game Undertale. It's a nostalgic hark back to kind of pixelated 80s games, and it's really quite brilliant. Crucial to the story is making a lesbian romance happen. If you don't make it happen, you don't get the ending of the game.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. And it was released in 2015 by Toby Fox. And Frisk, who is a little child of about 10 years old, is canonically non-binary and referred to by every single character using they pronouns. Inanna in The Wicked and the Divine, which is a comic book series about people who are rock stars who are actually reincarnated gods. So they're like your David Bowie and your Prince, but they are so popular because they make people kind of experience godly levels of ecstasy. Inanna is the incarnation of the goddess of fertility. He uses he pronouns, but also refers to himself as the Queen of Heaven, and says that he can be whoever. He says, "I can be whoever I want to be. I can be whoever I am," and often kind of like switches his pronouns up, switches his clothes up. He really likes playing with gender. Then, did you know that there is a children's cartoon series on Cartoon Network, primetime TV, right now, which features several major lesbian romances and a non-binary character who canonically uses they pronouns? Their name is Stevonny. The series is Steven Universe by Rebecca Sugar. It's on Cartoon Network. Your kids can watch characters sing songs about how gay love is what makes them more powerful than their enemies. We've got Sheriff Sam.
Is that an internet?
What, Cartoon Network?
No, Steven Universe Cartoon Network. That's a big TV channel.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You can find that on free TV.
She's a theatre. She doesn't. It's the opera, dear. Cartoon Network.
There's lots of an opera. I pretty much imagine. Yeah, go on.
I mean, Steven Universe is beautiful. Steven Universe has queer people of colour. Steven Universe has magical superheroes. Steven Universe has a little boy who likes to wear dresses and makeup, and his favourite colour is pink, and he likes weddings. It's a pretty great show. Then we've got Sheriff Sam, the Sheriff of Nightvale, the eponymous town around which the creepy audio drama Welcome to Nightvale is set. That's a podcast. It's free. Sam is referred to with they pronouns and played by the trans actress Emma Franklin. And okay. Welcome to Nightvale, the main character is Cecil, who is an openly gay man, played by the actor Cecil Baldwin, who is also very openly HIV positive and talks a lot about that. And the whole story revolves around his adoration of the beautiful scientist Carlos, played by Dylan Maron. We're nearly at the end. We've got Belle Thorne from the Vorkosigan saga.
You know, when you said pop culture, I was expecting like music.
Yeah, me too.
Like pop music.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
I admit. No, it's okay. I was thinking
Hanson.
TV culture.
Mbop. Mbop.
Just tell you what, we should do a part two where we'll come back with music recommendations. Yeah. Anyone listening to the show, please tell us.
We're sounding so organised here in the studio tonight, aren't we? This is great.
Let's come back even more.
But then we've got Belle Thorne from the Vorkosigan saga by Lois McMaster Bujold. Those books were first published in 1986. They've been running up to 2016. Belle is a non-binary coded human whose experiences resonate with those non-binary and intersex people. And sci-fi often challenges the gender binary. For example, we've got the four-gendered Andorians introduced to the Star Trek canon in 1967. Gethnians in Ursula K. Le Guin's Left Hand of Darkness, released in 1969, are what she calls ambisexual. And everyone in the Imperial Radc series by Anne Leckie, and that's Radc, R-A-D-C-H. In that series, all the characters are referred to with female pronouns to indicate that the Radcai do not distinguish people by gender. However, one of my several beautiful consulting individuals, Angharad Gilby, has pointed out that there is one thing to say about non-binary representation, which is that often non-binary people are the aliens.
True. So I was thinking about it when you were talking there about Star Trek. They often used to have non-binary characters in that, didn't they?
Yeah. And it's really nice to have representation. Non-binary people are massively underrepresented in all areas. But the thing about making non-binary people aliens is twofold. First of all, it's not the same thing as representing someone who's non-binary in a binary culture. So, you know, like, for example, it's nice if, let's say all TV shows, the only time you ever saw a gay character was if they were an alien.
Yeah.
Because in the alien race, sexuality isn't a problem.
Yeah,
and on the one hand, that's really nice. But on the other hand, that doesn't actually reflect your experience because it's acting as if you've never had a problem with sexuality, which is not always great. The other side of it is obviously that it kind of reflects a creative idea that this is a really interesting concept to explore, but it's too weird to possibly be human. No human being could ever possibly...
Yeah, it's kind of otherworldly, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's kind of like a little bit dehumanizing. So it's a bit nicer when we have human characters as non-binary. And finally, there's the popular card game Magic the Gathering, in which the lore of which the character Yeheni is canonically non-binary, as was Ashiok, although the representation of Ashiok, I am informed, was criticised by fans, and Yeheni is a better portrayal. Yeheni is of the Aetherborn race, a magic-using socialite and philanthropist.
Wow.
There we are.
So, I mean, there's got to be something that you engage with. No. That I mean, that's it. But whether you're reading books, comics, TV shows.
I'm trying to work out. St. Vincent. That was it. Yeah, St. Vincent.
St. Vincent?
Yeah, Pop. I'm looking at Pop here on the internet. That there, Pop.
Well, there's been a lot of artists in pop culture that have...
Ezra Furman. Actually, my brother toured with Ezra Furman. Yeah, he's his tour manager for a while. He used to wear dresses and makeup and stuff. Interesting.
People like Boy George have always mixed it up a lot, haven't they? And there's loads of artists that have done stuff like that, and it's very odd that it was totally fine in a time when traditionally it wasn't for the normal public, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, so I guess I think the one thing to say here, and actually it's important because, for example, I had requests from our beloved Ivan Jackson and Steffi Barnett to talk about various people.
They're listening.
But, yeah, well, that's why I'm talking about them. But the thing that I tried to do with this one was really reduce it down to non-binary people, because... bending gender is really important, and it's important for a number of reasons, and they come down to gender identity and sexuality, and also just generally freedom of expression and freedom of identity. And that's enormous. But being a man, like, for example, even Eddie Izzard, being a man who likes to wear dresses is not the same as being non-binary. And being non-binary is in itself an identity. And the same way,
I can't speak for him, but I don't know if he wouldn't identify as non-binary.
Wait, no, but he has done interviews in which he said that he identifies as male and he wants to use male pronouns. And if people ask him about dresses, he says they're not women's dresses, they're his dresses. And he would refer to himself using male pronouns.
Right.
Yeah. And he refers to himself as a transvestite anyway.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Which is a different
thing. Yeah, which is a different thing.
There are other people that do have a similar kind of look who would identify as non-binary.
Well, exactly. But then if someone's identifying as non-binary, they're identifying as a non-binary person who experiments with presentation rather than...
Because we were talking the other week and trying to explain to people listening what it was to identify as non-binary. Mm. And it was really interesting to hear them talking about, because I thought we were going to go down the route of the scale a bit like the difference between, you know, there's not a box for heterosexual and homosexual, it's a scale. And the first ever invention of that was called the Kinsey scale. There's obviously wider ones. And what was really interesting was at the time, I forget who it was we were talking to, but they were saying it was more like a globe. Do you
Ali,
remember?
Ali, yeah. So it was Ali from the Boy Who Didn't Live podcast. And they did say that for them, they imagine it more as a sphere. And I think that makes more sense when we get into things like physically, for example, sexual dimorphism. Yeah. This whole idea of having an XX and an XY chromosome and very strict ideas about binary gender is biologically not true. Yeah. So most people don't have these strict senses of I have these chromosomes. Most people actually have like 3X chromosomes or an XXY chromosome. They have higher levels of testosterone.
You're
going to
be confusing a lot of people now.
Well, so just to say that when people think about intersex people and when they think about trans people and when they think about physical characteristics of that, and they think that cisgender people are like really separate from that, that's categorically untrue. There are 7 billion people on this planet. Scientifically, it doesn't make sense for there to be two genders. That would only happen artificially, and we are not an artificial species as far as we know. So most people actually exist on that spectrum. And you know, I was talking to
playing devil's advocate, the age old that you get back about that is what takes a man and a woman to procreate.
Well,
but then the whole point is, but it doesn't, because if that many people are genderqueer and we're all actually on that spectrum, that can't be true, surely.
Well, right, and if you look at hundreds of animal species on the planet, which display common gender variations, so for example, smaller males or males which can give birth, or like females which have penises, for example, hyenas, you know,
I didn't
like
know that.
Yes, they do.
That's why they laugh so much.
So seriously, so like this whole thing of like, you know, male equals one set of genitals, female equals another set of genitals.
It's
they are
true.
Necessary for the procreation of the species. Is a biological falsehood. It's not scientific. So whether you're saying scientifically or culturally, neither of those things mandate a binary gender. And in fact, non-binary gender is very much a natural thing, but it is also, and this is important, an identity that not everyone subscribes to. And people can be on the spectrum. They can be interested in drag, but that doesn't mean that they're non-binary. But they could be non-binary. It depends on how they identify.
We are rapidly running out of time, but before we do, do we know, you said it was about 200 years ago, was this something specific that happened that made us go, right, we're going to enforce this, male and female?
Yeah, so really, really, really quickly, there was a series of very conservative religious reforms in the 1800s, just before the British Empire got really big, in which we started saying that poor people are poor because they're bad, not because they, you know, are cheated by the system. Rich people are rich because God made them rich, because they are good people. Mm. And along with those things were like women are made to be the slaves of men, and as part of that there was a very strict imposition of gendered clothing. So men used to wear dresses a lot. There was lots of cross-dressing going on in the 1700s. There was a flourishing of gay culture. Yeah,
but it was then, that open, was it back
well,
in the 1700s?
I mean, it was and it wasn't. So there were like gay bars and stuff. Mm. I mean, it's still, you still could be arrested for homosexuality.
I'm amazed there was bars in the 1700s.
Yeah. Seriously,
well,
there were
not quite like they are
inns,
now.
Inns, yeah. A gay yeah. inn.
No, I mean, oh look, my horse did something on the floor.
No, but even more than that, there were bars where men went and dressed as women and decided to be called and you know, had sex with other men and stuff. That was a thing. But then conservative reforms in the 1800s, imposed by the British Empire quite bloodily throughout the empire's remit in the various countries they came across, where there were variations as a way to control people via conservative Christianity.
Wow. See, I love talking to Ella. She's just like a fountain of all history knowledge.
Brain on a stick.
And you wonder why I didn't think it was something history. So, I don't know. So, anyway, that's it for this week. If you're off to Glastonbury, whatever you do, have an amazing time. Although, safe time, I have to say.
Yeah, but if you get bored, like you would with Glastonbury, then you can always grab yourself a shout-out podcast from iTunes or shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we're continuing with prize season as we find out more about the events that are happening here in Bristol. Darren's going to be joining us. But for myself, Rose, Ella and the rest of the team, say bye-bye everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.